I'm Edith Kelly, associated with Allaware Pottery, relating the story of Allaware. The story unfolds an unusual experience with a well and at our summer camp in Allegash, Maine. First, I would like to mention that in 1969, while on the island of Guam in the South Pacific, my husband decided to have a well drilled at our camp upon our return to Maine. At this time, I took a course in ceramics with no idea that the plan my husband had for a well and my pursuit of a hobby would become interwoven. We returned to Maine in 1970, and that same year, June, my husband contracted to have a well drilled. It was assumed by most people in the area that from 30 to 50 feet one could strike a good supply of water. Our camp is located on the banks of two rivers, the St. John River in the south, the Little Black River in the west, and a high mountain a short distance to the north. The water table is 25 feet in this area. On Friday, June the 26th, about 5 p.m., the drillers pulled into our camp yard with a vehicle on which was mounted drills and all necessary paraphernalia for drilling a well. They had drilled two wells a day and decided to start the third one as there would still be hours of sunlight before the day ended. Little did anyone dream that it would be June 1971 before water from this well could be piped into our camp. It was very interesting to watch the drillers set up their drill in the spot my husband insisted on. It was on the north side of the camp. They drilled through 20 feet of ground and rocks, then they hit hard clay. They decided to wait until morning to start drilling through the clay. They explained that when they drill through rock or ledge, it is much preferred to clay, because they can drill, then insert the casein. In clay, it becomes necessary to pull up the drill and pound in the casein every 20 feet. A lot of water was used, and a method of blowing the drill clay up the casein splashed a lot of clay on the north side of the camp, and we had a flow of clay going northward across our lawn to some shrubbery when they left Saturday evening to go home for the weekend. They returned Monday, and they discovered that they had a broken casein about 118 feet down. They decided to abandon that well and to start over again. At this time, since they were 118 feet, I was thinking that it might be a good idea to forget about a well, but they were not discouraged and were anxious to start over, and the driller predicted that he might even hit an artesian source of water. The driller decided to start over very near the abandoned well, use more water, make the boring larger, so less pressure would be on the casein in driving it down. Little did we know that the larger boring would be the direct cause of us having raw material for making pottery. The drilling and splashing for clay started all over again, only this time with extra water the clay was more liquefied, and our stained cedar camp took on a very deep, heavy gray coating of clay. By the time they reached 180 feet, the north end of our camp was completely covered from roof to ground with a very thick, heavy clay, and nowhere could you detect a log on that end of the camp. It also became quite difficult to go doors to watch the drilling, as I was quite anxious to watch them, thinking that each foot would be the last, because as they would blow this clay up out of the casein, it would fly over the rooftop and land on the yard anywhere. So I just stayed out of the way of the flying clay. And at 205 feet, they broke through the clay and they hit into a bed of silt, water, gravel, and what have you. It was under tremendous pressure. And this came up like a huge sheet and shot way up into the air with black rock into it. And the men went running around the camp to get out of the way of being pelted with rocks. They did measure the amount of water pouring out so many gallons per minute, and they measured 100 gallons per minute. They wanted to make sure that the water was clear, so they left the drill down and decided to come back the next day to put the last piece of casing down. They did. They returned, and they capped the casing and had an overflow and also a pipe run into our water system. However, days and weeks went by and the water was still clay. I should mention that the next day after the drillers left, that our basement filled almost half full of water. We had camping gear and different equipment down there that when I discovered the basement with all this water, the things were floating all around into it. So I frantically called on neighbors who had a pump to pump the basement out. And my husband hired a man with a backhoe to dig an irrigation ditch. Although we pumped the basement out, the water was still pouring in. And this is when we discovered that the water and clay mixture was coming up both the inside and the outside of the casing. Where the inside flow could be controlled, but the only recourse to the outside flow was to install a permanent drainage system. My husband paid $1,800 with a guarantee of having good water. It was now late in September, and we still had clay. The driller made one last attempt to clear the well without success. He stated that this was his first failure at a well in 35 years. He conferred with geologists, and it was believed he hit a lake bed of silt, probably deposited during the glacial age. The driller also consulted with engineers in Connecticut who advised he not abandon the well. They suggested he insert a 5-inch beveled casing inside the 6 and go down further into gravel, which should guarantee good artesian water. He made one attempt in November, but cold, snowy weather forced postponement until spring of 71. The clay and water mixture poured forth through our drainage system, over the embankment, across the flat, creating a new brook with clay banks. The clay filtered out in the flat, and I wondered about this great amount of clay brought forth by man, but being redeposited by nature. It was such a beautiful silvery clay, I could not resist hand-molding various crude shapes with it. I threw a piece in the fireplace and fired to a very hard reddish mass. Remembering my experience with ceramics, I decided to try cast molding the clay. It cast beautifully and became a sturdy, rubbery piece that did not resist handling. I then fired a small vase and a kiln, which proved out well. I was told that raw clays crackle when glazed and is very difficult to work with. But eager to put the clay to use, I glazed a piece with clear glaze. Small swirls of black oil is quite prominent in the clay, and I wondered if this in some way may have accounted for the beautiful luster to the glaze vase I took from the kiln. My sister Mary Walker, with a talent for oil painting, easily applied her talent to glazes. Since the gray clay turned to a dark reddish color when fired, We search for a design that would look right for the color. Using a one-stroke glaze, Mary painted a pine cone and tassel, the state of Maine flower that looked very well on our terracotta color. Encouraged by neighbors and many friends, we bought a small kiln, rented a little abandoned house, and with help from family members started making our unique pottery. This northern part of Rooster County is visited by many canoeists and sportsmen each summer, but few tourists as such. Much to our surprise, many tourists came to visit our pottery shop and to buy pieces of our pottery. A few local papers had printed the story of our well of clay, along with pictures of our ware, so now no doubt this accounted for the demand we were unprepared for. People would inevitably ask if our clay source would be ended with the insertion of the 5-inch casing. Many thought we should forget about water and not take a chance on losing the source of clay that produced such a beautiful ware. In 1971, it was in May, the drillers put in the 5-inch casing. They put it downside the 6-inch and went 20 feet deeper. We then had clear water coming up the casing and clay coming up the outside. Our clay has many metal elements, medium and iron and titanium and trace metals. A university tested our teacups for toxin as we wanted to be certain they were safe to use. All tests were negative. We have a 20 by 40 foot building designed especially for making pottery, which we moved into in September in 71. We started selling wholesale upon request from gift shops. We were very cautious about making commitments that we could not keep, so we very slowly built up a small wholesale business. We sell alloware to gift shops in northern rustic towns of Madawaska, Fort Kent, Van Buren, Caribou, and Presque Isle. This past February, we discovered a large cave-in around the well, about 20 feet wide and 6 feet deep. This new development stopped the flow of clay. And since the cave-in was so near our camp, we became quite concerned. And we contacted Mr. Evans of the Extension Service at Fort Kent, and he conferred with geologists at the University of Maine in Orono. And they explained that a cavern was created 205 feet down by the redepositing of clay. This caused the ground to cave, but they felt that since the clay had stopped running, that there should not be any immediate concern as far as safety of the camp caving down into the ground or whatever. We have tons of clay, which we're stockpiling, and the last estimate I had was that we could no doubt make alloware for about 25 or 30 years without worrying about a shortage of clay.